But I'll start off by saying, well done. You finished the 100 days of gym.
Thank you.
I'm on about day 80 from the time that we started. If I exclude the time that I got sick and leave that out. But I've started the challenge again. In the wrap-up of the challenge for you, I figured this is the time that we want to make a video, a content piece about this 100 Days of Gym challenge. And it feels like there's a lot to say. Especially from your side, through the experiences that you've had in the past. I'm a bit new to this. And so I have some perspective, you have some, and I thought that's why it's a good idea to like talk about it first. Let's shake it up, get everything you want to say out.
It's probably not going to be everything even, but
okay.
But yeah, before we make like the challenge video, which is going to be short and snappy.
Exactly.
It is true, like it's also the first time we did a 100-day experiment, right? We've done 10-day experiments, we've done 30-day experiments. This is the first time we've done a 100-day experiment. And it's kind of like, okay, you do something for this long, more stuff comes up that you can talk about.
It's like in 5 days, it's long enough to make a long video.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's important is that I wasn't a gym person. I don't even know what that really means. But I know that there are people out there like, oh, it's got gym in the title. I'm not watching that. I'm not listening to that. And I think it's important to state up front that this is not a podcast about gym things. It's about life things. But we went through gym and it's a really good way to...
There are life lessons in here. Yeah,
big
and,
time.
And also, I don't, you know, there's lots of great content creators who are all about the gym things, who will talk about, you know, how to do your workout routine programming and talk about exercise science and all this kind of stuff. Great resources out there. This is not my specialty, right? It's like I know a thing or two, but it wouldn't be really fitting for me to talk about this because there's clearly people who have a lot more to say about that. So yeah, for me, it is this experiment as well. You know, why do 100 days of gym? It is a lifestyle experiment for me as well. It's not how much muscle can I put on in 100 days or something like that. It is about, I mean, ultimately, pretty much everything we do is about increasing your life quality and in increasing your, like, leveling yourself up as a person. And that's definitely the perspective that I want to bring here as well, is like this kind of experiment as a way to improve yourself and like you said, the life lessons you can take out of this.
Well, I think maybe that's a good point. Let's go straight into why. Why 100 days of gym? So what's your take on this?
Like, the most obvious thing here is that, of course, going to the gym, exercising is healthy. It's one of those things, I've talked about this before, where it's just, there are so many benefits associated with exercise that the only reasonable conclusion to come to is that it's just extremely bad for you to not exercise, right? Because, there's loads of scientific research on this, right? It obviously improves lots of health markers, but it also improves mood, improves sleep, improves this, improves that. There's basically almost nothing that it doesn't improve, right? And so the conclusion is like, oh, as a human being, you need movement and exercise. And if you don't get it, all of this stuff gets worse across the board. So, okay, that's the obvious reason. It's like, listen, exercise is super healthy, right? It's really good for you. And the gym is a place where you can do that. For most of us, right, if you live in a city, it's just easier to get like a full range of exercise in the gym than anywhere else. And okay, so that's the obvious reason, you go for the health benefits, right? But the reason the challenge was to do 100 days, and specifically what I did was 100 days of exercise in a row, where 6 days a week I go to the gym, and then on Sundays I do some light exercises, like my active recovery day. So I would usually do some yoga or some stretching, something like that at home. So I made sure that every single day I'm doing some exercise, but 6 days a week it's lifting in the gym. And why 100 days? Well, in the past, I've always been exercising in various ways. And usually when I went to the gym, my goal was always something like, well, get as strong as possible. And this is basically, I always experience this, like the hitting of plateaus. So I go to the gym and I basically try to design my training in such a way that I can put on more and more weight, put more and more weight on the bar, right? And you make some progress, and generally the training gets more and more intense, and then usually something goes wrong. Like the training is almost always interrupted by something going wrong. And it's either injury, right? So you lift too heavy and you know, whatever. It could be something small. It's like, oh, you tweak your back and you can't work out for a few days or something. It could be something pretty serious, right? I've taken myself out of training for longer periods too. And sometimes it's also illness. You know, I remember doing a workout, like a super intense, like sprint interval workout. It was the kind of thing, you know, where you basically train until you puke. And after this, I got sick for like a week. And I'm pretty it's connected. You know, you can see those. If you measure people's immune markers, very intense exercise actually lowers your immune response, or let's say the strength of your immune system for a brief period, right? So I'm pretty sure that's just an example. You can take it so far, you can train so hard that you get sick, right? Yeah. And so looking back, I just realized that this repeatedly happened. I would always have these runs of gym, and that could be usually like a few months, right? A few months of gym, but the consistency was never there, because usually I'd get hurt or something would happen where, yeah, even just the intensity, you ramp up the intensity to a point where you kind of just pass out and then you take a break.
And again, you don't want to go back to that.
And you don't want to go back yet. Just, so I looked back at my own training history and I was like, look, the one thing that's missing here is just consistency. The thing that's, especially, you know, once I became a digital nomad as well, then traveling around trying to get into exercise routine was the same thing. I was always exercising something, but just not with great consistency. And so I was like, look, I actually believe that consistency is the most important factor. It's much more important than exactly what you train, how you train, and so on. Is, are you showing up consistently? So what if I focus only on that? Mm-hmm. So my goal was not, like I said, it's not build as much muscle as possible. It's not lose as much weight as possible. It's not lift as much as possible. It's none of these things. It's just keep going for 100 days without a break. That's the goal.
Yeah. And so it sounds like the habit. It really is like a life habit. There's something kind of counterintuitive in the sound of that, though. And that's what caught my attention, is like, if you say 100 days of gym, that sounds like injury waiting to happen.
Right. But this is the thing. If you, and that's something I noticed as I was going through this experiment, it really changed my mindset. It really changed how I thought about training and recovery, and how I thought about what I'm doing at the gym. Because usually, again, if the goal is just, I want to lift as heavy as possible, then I'm always trying to put on more weight on the bar. And as my progress slows, I'm thinking of like, what can I do to keep pushing my progress? So then it's like, okay, well, do I increase my volume? Do I do whatever? You change something, right, to try and keep adding more to the bar. And now with this 100-day goal in view, my feeling and the way I thought about training was very different, because now I'm thinking like, okay, today was pretty intense. And I feel like, you know, maybe the next day I feel like I haven't fully recovered. And yes, of course, I could keep pushing, but I know that I'm only on day 50 of 100.
Yeah, that's the one.
I can't just push myself as far as possible so that I put up better numbers this week.
Yeah.
No. I have to keep going, right?
Yeah.
And because of that, I was, my view on how I was kind of paying attention to how my body's recovering and how I was responding to that was very different. Because, and I guess it's also a way to almost like get the ego out of the way a little bit, because it's easier to say, listen, I can feel that I'm kind of cresting, you know, I'm getting to that point where it gets too much. And so I'm going to deload, I'm going to take it easier for a couple of workouts. And instead of, you know, instead of it being like an ego thing, oh, but I want to lift more, I can't reduce the weight. You're like, no, the goal is not to lift more weight. The goal is to keep going, right? And so, and that really made a bigger difference than I originally expected, right? Mm. Just the outlook of having the goal of you have to keep going, yeah, it really changes how I think about exercise and how I think about recovery. And it's very obvious to me now that with a different goal, I'm pretty sure I would have somehow knocked myself out.
Yeah, because I'm sure you've done more than 100 days before without being conscious of it being 100 days, right? It's only 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that's probably the upper limit, you know? Because even during periods where, let's say, I'm basically going to the gym regularly for 2 years, how many times do I do 100 days with this consistency? It's probably not very often.
Yeah,
I think much more common is that you have, maybe you have like 2 months on and then maybe a week off and then another 2 months on, something like that, you know? And even this, I think that also makes a big difference. You know, it makes a big difference if you are 100% consistent or 90% consistent.
Yeah. No, I definitely, I mean, this is my first time doing something like this, and it's been the anchor habit of my life. Mm-hmm. It's like everything else that is healthy has attached itself to this.
Right.
And again, it's not because it's gym, it's just the consistency. It's that we meet up every day, and I laughed about it yesterday. I was thinking like, wow, the power of the accountability of doing this together too.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a silent little thing that happens. So you're like, gotta go, gotta be there, gotta get there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's also like, again, if the goal is not consistency, it's much easier to make an excuse, you know? It's much easier to say, today, you know, whatever, I slept in, or I'm not feeling great and I'm going to skip. And it's just different when you say, okay, no, the goal is I have to go every day. I have to go every day, no matter what. Mm. Again, I think that's, for me, that was like the difference. I think before I was easily 90% consistent, but I think I underestimated how much of a difference it makes to be 100% consistent.
Yeah. So I want to take people into the journey quickly. Just like, what was it like over the course of time, just from our perspective? So the first question I have is, was it a long 100 days or was it quick from a gym and a workout point of view?
It does feel like a long time, yeah. It does feel like a long time. I mean, it's also, you know, the first few weeks, the first like 3 weeks were pretty difficult.
Oh, man.
because we have to get up early to get to the gym before it gets too busy. So adjusting your sleep cycle around that, and the workouts are pretty hard, and yeah, it was really difficult. And for sure, like for 2 weeks, I would say our productivity suffered quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because we were just really tired, not adjusted to the exercise yet.
And feeling like you're on the edge of getting sick, like you said earlier. Yeah. It's like I felt that a few times, like where your nervous system is just punched.
Yeah. So that took something to get through. And then it does feel long. Also, you know, I think something that makes it... So we do a push-pull leg, right? So we basically have two leg days
in a week.
In a week. and the leg day is really horrible. And that's also something where it can feel, I don't know. I mean, that feels especially long. It is also a long workout, but it's this kind of thing where it's like, another one of these, you know?
Today was leg day, by the way.
And yeah, it can definitely feel like, I mean, it didn't go by as a breeze, basically. Yeah.
But definitely there was that beginning phase.
Yeah.
And then just the do it, do it, do it. And then it goes away. It's like it's part of normal life. At some point from 60 days in, it's just life.
Yeah, yeah. It does become something like I wouldn't want to miss it anymore.
Yeah,
right? It's a really important part of the routine now, yeah.
So any major strength wins in 100 days for you?
I actually haven't crunched the numbers yet.
Okay. Anything noticeable there from you? Like,
well, basically, in terms of strength, I'm not at my strongest. I'm not back at as strong as I was at peak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess in a way, I still feel weak, you know,
okay.
Because I guess you're always comparing yourself to your previous best.
Yeah.
You know? But there's been no exercise where I'm like, I'm getting really strong here. I mean, ring dips is something I didn't do before, and I'm now doing weighted ring dips, you know, I think pretty good. But with pull-ups, I'm back to doing, 10 10 reps with 10 extra kilograms, that's getting close to my peak strength. I think at peak, I was probably doing something like 12 extra kilograms and 11 reps or something like that. So I'm getting close.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't broken any records.
Yeah. No, well, for me, I think it's been obvious to see newbie gains.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, the progress over the first 2 months was big, then a little plateau, and then recently, like a big jump again.
Yeah, and I think it's also a lot of it is like strength skill, right? It's like the skill of actually learning how to utilize your muscles properly, essentially. And also you have all these strange like weak spots, right? On various exercises, there was like part of the range where you just can't produce force at all.
Yeah.
And that's also a difficult challenge to overcome because it's pretty frustrating. But I think that's also very significant going from, because on many exercises, you essentially went from virtually zero reps to actually being able to do the rep simply because you couldn't do the entire range.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know enough about physiology to explain what is happening there exactly, but I can only imagine that it's much better for you to have like that, because that's basically mobility, right? You have strength through a range of motion now, mm-hmm, that you didn't have before. As far as I understand, this is really good also for, you know, long-term health, because mm-hmm, these weak spots are something you have to otherwise work around. Like your body mm-hmm will find ways to work around that issue, which basically makes it worse over time, right?
Yeah.
And through these exercises, you are forcing yourself to actually develop that strength through the range of motion, which means that your body doesn't have to do all this compensating anymore in ways that you probably don't even notice, right? It's just things like, how do you get from a seated position on the floor to standing up, right?
I've noticed that's changed with me.
Yeah.
Everything about that, so I can't say I'm like really strong in the gym right now, where like the numbers you're benching compared to mine, it's a significant difference. I'm still far behind in that regard, but how I get up, how I'm, all of these life movements are definitely, I'm way stronger.
Yeah.
Like we were doing a grappling exercise last Saturday, and I couldn't believe it. I was just like moving this person around, what used to be a big sack of potatoes was like a brick now. It's like,
exactly. Yeah, that's also because when we did the grappling the first time, right, you had a real problem of actually producing force, mm-hmm, essentially, right?
Here.
It, mentally and physically.
And physically. Yeah. And now both are coming on,
yeah.
I must admit. And the gym has really helped with that, again, the same way the grappling did. It's that even what I'm benching now, I could probably, physically, my muscles can do a lot more than I think I can. But it's about learning. Yeah, you've kept repeating that, like learning the skill of strength.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that we'll have to see. We'll have to see the actual numbers and stuff. But again, I think that probably over, you know, what could I have done things to gain more strength in 100 days? Absolutely, right?
For sure, yeah.
And even, like I said, you know, I'm kind of an amateur at this. I'm not the best, you know, workout programmer, but even I know things that I could have done to put up bigger numbers, you know, and also design a cycle so that you put up the biggest numbers on day 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that over 200 days or 300 days, consistency probably wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm happy with the progress I've made, as I've said, physically, in strength-wise, but also physical, like mm-hmm, look. I'm noticing differences. And you, I guess you've been here before, so not so much, mm-hmm, or in 100 days.
Although, yeah, I mean, I'm also seeing differences. I mean, I think that physique-wise, I probably look as good now, if not better, than when I was at my strongest. When I was at my strongest, I was a bit fat. Because again, that's like, if you're optimizing just for strength, then you're piling in the calories, right? And so I think physique-wise, I'm probably at a better point than... Don't know if this is like the best ever. I haven't really kept a great record of that, but I've definitely noticed. Yeah, I've mm-hmm definitely noticed growth.
Yeah, for me too. Definitely. It's in places, again, that I didn't expect it. It wasn't like, oh, my biceps are bigger, but like there's like around my elbow things or around my wrists and that. there's strength in and like I can just see it. It looks slightly different. My neck and the, so it's you see the physical improvement in places I didn't expect, and that is really like rewarding. Actually, it's been good. In this time, 100 days, any injuries that came close for you?
Yeah, for sure. Like even right now, I'm feeling my back a bit. I think I overdid the deadlifts this week, and yeah, there were moments where I also had a thing in my, I had this weird pain under my rib cage
in the beginning,
which actually stayed around for quite a while, and I just had to be careful. Like it didn't stop me. I could still do all the exercises, but I had to be careful. I couldn't. Again, like just pushing would have definitely made that worse somehow. And I had to like take it slow, or just like certain exercises. I had just had to be a bit more careful, a bit less weight for like, I don't know what it was, like 2 or 3 weeks before it was fully fine again. So yeah, there were definitely moments where I was like, oh, this is riding the edge where you know I could easily damage myself here.
I had the same one with my knee, and then that those 2-3 exercises that were around that, I didn't stop, I just slowed down, and I was a little concerned, like should I stop, but it just showed me that I didn't get too injured, so I didn't need to. And I think in the past it would have been a stop for me. It would have been like, no. But yeah, we went down in weight, and within 2 or 3 weeks you're back to normal. And also I put on a knee guard, not because it helps, it doesn't do anything, but it makes you mindful of this is the thing that's happening right now, and now you need to behave just a little bit more carefully here. But all in all, other than unfortunately getting COVID and smack bang in the middle of it, even that, I was only out longer because of bureaucracy. I needed paperwork and this and that. But other than that, it was so good to get back in. But that was the only time that I actually missed. I missed a chunk of time. You didn't miss anything, right?
No. Well, I was traveling, or basically I took a vacation for 10 days. Which was so away from the gym, and I did home workouts instead, which was basically horrible. I hated it. And that was definitely also, of course, much less volume because, I was doing like burpees in hotel rooms and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's not nearly the same as what you do in the gym. But again, with the consistency thing in mind, it was just like every day I have to find a way to do something, right? But yeah, I would have much preferred to just do it all in the gym.
So there was you said something about non-obvious benefits. Have we covered all of them, or I think there's
no, I mean, so like the obvious benefits of going to the gym are it's healthy, improves your physique, all this kind of stuff, and those are good reasons to go. But I do think that as a life skill, you know, I do think everyone should lift, everyone should give it a try at least, because there are also like mental benefits and life lessons. But even there, there's a more obvious, there's like the simple story that I'm sure you've heard. It's like, oh, you know, it trains your discipline, you know? You go to the gym, you show up every day, no matter how you feel that day, right? It's not a matter of, oh, are you motivated? Are you feeling good right now? Whatever. No, you just show up, right? You show up and do the thing, and the thing you do is a hard thing. And so what's the benefit of like training that habit of showing up every day, doing the hard thing, no matter what, right? Obviously, it's easy to argue that that carries over to other aspects of life, because almost anything that's worth accomplishing requires this kind of thing. You have to show up every day, do it anyway, even if you don't feel like it, right? Okay, and I think that is also very valuable. But one thing that is a bit more nuanced than I think most people realize, and that I really appreciate about training, and especially training the way we do, is that it is not just about gritting your teeth and showing up and pushing yourself as hard as possible every day. Because because like we talked about, first of all, you can easily just push too hard and like take it too far, right? And get injured or something. But I think there's also something about learning how to give yourself the right dose of exercise, because it is a balancing act. Can you show up and train hard but not just ego style, right? As hard as possible. Look at me. Look at how hard I'm suffering. Just for the sake of it. But also not taking it too easy, cheating, you know. I see basically two types. I see kind of two types of, let's say, people who make two types of mistakes in the gym. You will see people who are kind of the ego lifters, the delusional lifters. That's typically you see that in the squat rack, right? You see some guy put on whatever 140 kilograms or something on the bar, right, and set it up for a squat, but then they barely bend their legs, right? They do like a quarter of a squat, and they do that a couple of times, and it's like, okay, here, what happened here is that, so first of all, this exercise is pointless, right? You're training like 10% of the range of the motion, and what's the point? This is, and you certainly don't need to do that in the squat rack, right? If you want to do some kind of a micro thing, then go to the leg press, right? So, but what happened here is that someone is attached to the idea that they can lift a lot, and they kept adding weights, and they haven't done a real squat in years, probably, right? But they can't, if you, like, their ego doesn't allow them to say, actually, I can't squat 140 kilograms. I can't squat anything near 140 kilograms. This is the reality, is I'd probably have to go down to like 60 kilograms and actually learn the full range of motion, right? And then maybe over the next few years, I could work my way up to this weight. Their ego does not allow them to admit that, right? And so they're cheating themselves out of getting a good workout on that exercise, because they just have to put up that number. They have to let their ego believe that they can do this thing that they can't actually do. The other kind that you see is, and this is usually like in group fitness classes or people who are there with personal trainers and stuff, is people like doing the least possible thing while it still looks like they're doing it, right? And this is like the, because any exercise you can cheat in various ways. And, you know, you can say, okay, I'm doing whatever. You can say I'm doing, you know, we talked about this in one of our videos, right? A burpee. We could say I'm doing the full clean motion of a burpee, or I'm just kind of getting my body from a prone position to an upright position in the laziest way, in the most energy efficient way possible. I'm avoiding, so it's like I'm bending my back and I'm doing all kinds of stuff to avoid using my muscles in the full range of motion. And so in both cases, you are basically cheating, but obviously you're only cheating yourself, right? Yeah. You're only cheating yourself out of getting a good workout. And I think it's an interesting challenge and an interesting, again, it's an interesting life lesson to say, can I get the right dosage of this? It's not just about going as hard as possible or doing ego stuff. But it's also not just about being able to check, but yeah, I went to the gym and I basically avoided energy expenditure as much as possible, but I did go to the gym, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's actually really interesting. Actually wrestling with that is, like I said, it's kind of a nuanced challenge. And I think it's very valuable. And there's also another interesting life lesson in this, I think, which is that has to do with basically embracing adversity. So it seems to be a strange law of the universe that you get more of the things that you resist. And when you kind of lean into and embrace difficult things, things that are uncomfortable, things that you're afraid of, that usually leads to some kind of reward, right? Strange, but that seems to be a law of how, of what it's like to be a human being. And in the gym, the way we work out, where you basically try to do clean, full repetitions, where the goal is essentially to get the maximum muscle contraction out of the exercise you're doing. There's an interesting thing there, because in a way, it's the opposite of cheating an exercise. It is, in a way, you're doing the exercise the hardest way possible, yeah, right?
I know, I felt that.
Yeah, and it makes such a huge difference, right? It makes such a huge difference. Often you can almost feel like an exercise unlocks, right? Once you realize, okay, don't swing your arm, don't move your elbow here, don't lean in here. Actually just use this muscle to bend your arm.
And it's see like, how many reps you can really
yeah,
do.
Yeah. And you feel this unlock is like, wow, first of all, this is way harder than I thought. And secondly, I can actually feel these muscles working now. Mm. And this is an interesting, yeah, it's an interesting challenge as well. Like, can you get yourself to do this thing in what feels like the hardest way possible? Mm. It's, you know, you can be sitting in the leg press, and for most observers, it looks like you're doing leg presses and with whatever the weight is. Most people will give you a pass, but internally, you know, if I do this slightly differently,
just knees out yeah. and this, and don't yeah. push your knee as you come in with your hand.
Exactly.
And little things.
Exactly. And but also, and you know, do the negative slowly.
All that.
Have so full many. Tension from which you push, right, without but all
that,
this kind of
that
stuff.
That desire to cheat just creeps in all the time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you know that there is a way to do this where, like, you don't get any credit for it, right? Like, externally.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I said, people will watch you do it. They'll just watch you do it straining harder with less weight, right? If anything, it's bad for your, like, social status, right? Can you get yourself to do that? And again, this so there's this aspect of, like, embracing the difficulty mm. instead of shying away from the challenge, instead of saying, oh no, if I do this properly, it's intense, right? Mm. So I'd rather find a way to make it less uncomfortable, to make it more pleasant, right? But can you embrace the intensity? And I have to say, and I have to give some credit to Ryan Humiston here. He's a YouTuber who makes kind of fairly funny fitness related videos. And somehow hearing him talk about this made this click for me for the first time in this exercise period, I really understand this mind-muscle connection, which I always thought that it's kind of like an old school bodybuilder thing. You know, you mm-hmm. hear like basically Arnold age bodybuilders talk a lot about, you know, mind-muscle connection and the pump and all that. And I was always like, you know, it's kind of outdated. But what I did before is I was always insisting on clean form, but I was doing it technically. So I had a technical understanding of how is your body, how are your joints supposed to move, what's the bar pass supposed to look like, right? And I think I was pretty good at doing clean technical form. But for the first time now in this 100-day period, it really clicked for me that actually you can feel in your body whether the form is right or not. Mm. And you can do whatever, you can do a squat or a deadlift or whatever in a way where you feel that muscle contraction and you feel that tension or the stretch at the extremes. And it's just like in your body, you're like, yeah, I'm doing it right. I am doing it right.
You're giving yourself that little applause.
yeah. And this is what would be the mind-muscle connection, right? Can you actually feel your body applying this intense force on your muscles as you're doing the exercise? Or are you just going through the motions, right? I think, again, if you can do that, I think this has carryover, right? This transfers to other areas of life. If you can show up and go through this internal struggle, essentially, of embracing the difficulty, almost like seeking the difficulty, where is the maximum intention, the maximum contraction on this exercise? And you have to do it again and again and again, right? You have to remind yourself of this again and again, because I will also notice that, like, sometimes you kind of just get into a trot in the gym, and before you know it, you're doing some exercise, and it's like, hold on, it feels easier than it should. And then I kind of reset and be like, hold on, which muscles am I using? Where you know, like, reset yourself and really feel what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, I think it makes your training more effective, but also I think that this is, again, this is like a life skill. If you can do this in the gym, you're training something that is a key skill for other areas of life as well.
Yeah. We spoke briefly about weakness, like weak spots in the motion. And this practice that you're talking about really, really makes you able to almost like visualize where the weakness is. It's like you can see the line from A to B, and then sort of on the three-quarter mark at that point, that's where the weak spot is. And and then you translate that to like lifting up through your arm, and it's like, oh, there it is. And it becomes visual in my head. I actually can imagine it. And when I have that vision, then I can treat the exercise with more precision and with more benefit, as you say. Yeah. And definitely that's translated over just from doing that in the gym and experiencing that for 100 days, time and time again. It's translated into my productivity too.
Mm.
So it's like when I'm aware of where am I struggling at this computer, like it's like I just became so aware of like, oh, right. It's my phone. It's my weak spot. It's like right. You got to like.
Yeah, and exactly. I think that's actually, I think you nailed what the, you know, what the common factor is, like this presence, right? Are you mm. are you really present and aware of what's happening? And it's actually kind of fascinating to think that, you know, you can do something like a bench press and not really be there for it, mm. you know, and it makes a big difference whether you're there for it or not. And it's the same for, yeah, whatever you're working. And it's like, are you really here? Are you really deliberately, you know, and present to what you're doing and aware of what's going on? Or are you kind of just going through the motions? So, yeah, to me, that's actually probably one of the biggest life lessons that can be taken from this kind of training.
Yeah. Last one for me is you've finished now 100 days. Obviously, we're going to keep going. There's mm-hmm. no, this is the habit, not the goal. But do you think it's important to set another kind of goal yeah. of some kind?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do another 100 days. And also, I do want to start adjusting the programming a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, like the next challenge is to do 100 days of gym with 100 days of cleaner eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because like in the first 100 days, we already cleaned up our eating a little bit. We started having smoothies more often and so on. But it's still like, I would say we were like 50% there, mm-hmm. right? We're like 50% to really having our nutrition under control. And so I think the next challenge is to do 100 days of clean eating and gym and see what happens
together. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, so another thing that I think is worth mentioning is the health, the mental health benefits of gym. For me, this is pretty obvious, right? As I've shared before, I have a depressive tendencies, and this is just one of the things, right? If I can't exercise, it generally gets worse. And exercise kind of gives you a good, you know, kind of roots you a little bit. But another thing I noticed, something that's really nice about exercise, and I think this could be especially useful for entrepreneurs and creators, is that with exercise, you can just totally trust the process. And it's fundamentally simple. Of course, you know, like exercise science at the top end, at the advanced end, gets very, very complicated. But for mere mortals who are not trying to break world records, it really is simple. Which is to say that, you know, you have progressive overload, which is, you know, you consistently train and you increase something. You somehow increase your reps or your volume or your intensity or something, right? So that you're not just, you know, doing 3 times 10 push-ups every day for the rest of your life, right? You're actually increasing that to stimulate growth. And then the other factor is basically calories in, calories out, okay? Because yes, even that gets more complicated, but... Again, for most people, that works. You're eating more calories than you're expending, you're going to be putting on weight. Are you eating less calories than you're expending? You're going to be losing weight. That's it.
Simple, yeah.
And you can just totally trust the process. It's important to have clear, you know, it's not like you're going to turn into some muscle freak just by going to the gym and lifting weights a little bit. But it's you are going to grow stronger. Your physique is going to improve. If you change your calorie intake, you are going to lose body fat. You can just absolutely trust this process. There's nothing mysterious about it.
Mm.
And I think this can be very nice to have. It's nice to have something with this level of certainty and simplicity when for the rest of the day you're doing something creative or entrepreneurial where you're constantly dealing with all this uncertainty.
Mm.
Everything you do is some kind of an experiment and everything's chaotic and everything's difficult. I think that might be one of the things that, like I said, makes it especially useful for people who work like that. You have this one thing in your life where you're not facing this level of chaos and uncertainty. It's just yeah. like, hey, you can just do this. Don't worry about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's something really nice about that. And again, that gives like an anchor for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Simplicity is really important here in another aspect of it too, and that's doing something that is simple at the gym, for example. For us, you've introduced us to what I would imagine to be a very simple routine. Mm. And the reason I know that is because when I missed the morning and I went in the afternoon on my own, I didn't have to like, oh, well, how does it work again? Or what did I have to do? And that would have been something that would have prevented me from going to the gym before, where it's like, we do four exercises a day. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Four or five, depending on the day. Yeah. That's it. And it feels like it's a good all-around body workout. Yes, I'm not going to look like a beast or whatever doing just this. But if I do just this, I am going to be just, I'm just going to look better and better and better every 100 days that I have behind me. And that is something that was in a blind spot for me before. I can never unlearn what I now already know just from this 100-day set. Mm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, simplicity is where it's at. Also with, you know, to make it even more simple, right? The one thing you focus on is consistency.
Mm.
That matters more than anything else that what you do in the gym. And, you know, all the stuff you see people do, all the like more complicated stuff you see people do, is really mostly to keep themselves entertained.
Mm-hmm.
All this extra complexity and doing, you know, exercises with, God knows, you often see personal trainers have their clients do all kinds of complicated stuff.
And I was going to mention personal trainers, yeah. And I thought, oh God, we're going to step like, on them.
No, but
it's true. It's like, I've been with a personal trainer before. I can't remember Jack because it was like a different thing every week. Yeah, and yeah. I have to rely on you.
But this is just mostly entertainment. This is mostly entertainment, right? Is it really that important that you're doing this one-legged, whatever, on a Bosu ball thing? No, this is not making you stronger or better than if you just did squats every day. But doing squats every day is boring, right?
Yeah.
and you're going to fire your personal trainer if he doesn't tell you anything else. So exactly. It brings up a new thing every time. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a skill within itself. It's not a skill. Learn the skill is what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah.
Learn it, get somebody who knows the basics, and that's a good way to get in, because like you said, if you can trust this process, you will get that carryover into your life. And I can without a doubt say this has been probably the most successful challenge that we've documented.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Because it's been 100 days of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just consistency. Totally.
Yeah, so it's been good. Thank you for all the lessons along the way.
Yeah, no, it's good to have company as well, right? That, yeah. Which also just makes it easier, right? Just makes it easier to go there when you're not going alone.
Yeah, yeah, there's been many mornings where you kind of like trudge towards the gym. It's cold and even at the front door and you're waiting for them to open it, you're like, ugh. By the time you walk out, it's like,
yeah,
ready for the day.
Which is also an interesting thing, right? When you're having a really shit day, usually exercise, even if it's a horrible leg day, does make you feel better.
Every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So worth doing and worth carrying on.
Yeah.